Get everything turned on here. I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning, and especially those people that are listening on the internet. I also would like to remind you to turn off all the cell phones unless you really plan on bringing treats to the committee. I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Dinwall. Garnos. Hanson. Tom.
Here.
Gerstad. Ketzel.
Here.
Jim Peterson.
Here.
Turbach.
Here.
Lance. McNinney.
Here. Quorum present. We need a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Hanson, seconded by Senator Ketzel. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. I'd like to ask if you plan to testify, if you would please sign in back by the door there. That really is necessary, as we need the names, and if you write legibly, that helps also. If you have handouts that you'd like to pass out, we'd like to have you use the pages this morning, if that's possible. And I also would like to remind the members that we'd like to have the questions go through the chair. That helps to keep some type of order in the committee, so I appreciate when you do that. I think this morning we do have some bills this morning, and we'll probably get right into our bill calendar. Our first bill will be Senate Bill 40, and it pertains to revising the distribution process for the bank franchise tax. And at this time, Maria will take testimony. Mr. Kenyon.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. The history of this bill is sort of interesting. The department was looking at these statutes over the summer, and we were looking at the criteria that there's actually two bank franchise taxes in South Dakota. The taxes are identical except for the distribution of the tax. One of the taxes is split between the state and local governments. The main, what people think of as the bank franchise tax, is split between the state and the local governments, 26 2/3% to the state, 73 1/3% to the local governments. The other tax is what we call the bank card tax. That tax is split between the state and the local governments at a different rate. It's exactly the same tax, except that the state gets 95% of the money and the local governments get 5% of the money. My understanding of the history of that, the rationale for that distinction, was that most of the credit card banks do the bulk of their business outside of the South Dakota, and most of the sort of the mom and pop banks in the state do their business inside South Dakota, earn their money there, and should be taxed there, and the benefits of that tax should go there. That wasn't the case with the credit card banks. So we looked at the statutes that are referenced and crossed out on pages on page 1, line 11 of the bill. Those statutes had actually been repealed and transferred. So we found out where they had been transferred to. We took a look at those statutes, and what they say is that a bank holding company whose primary assets, or where the majority of their assets are outside of the state of South Dakota, pays a bank card tax. And the so that money is split 95% state, 5% local. Didn't say anything about credit cards. Didn't say anything about credit card activity. So we drafted this bill to to return the and I'm not sure. I didn't go back and look at the history of those bills. I don't know if they had been modified over time. They'd been around for a long time. So I don't know when they were transferred, if they were changed or something, and the original intent of that change was lost. but I thought that it would be much simpler and easier for the law to say what I think everybody had assumed that it said, that the credit card, that income from credit card companies is split between the state and local governments 95-5, and the rest of bank franchise tax is split at the normal percentage rate. The way we have this drafted does mean that in some cases the state may lose a little bit of money. If the banks that had been paying the credit card tax under the old version of this law, if the all of the income from the bank was split 95-5, whether it had to deal with credit cards or something else, under this scenario, the only the credit card income from the bank is split 95-5. Everything else is split at the normal bank franchise tax rate. So it's possible for the state to lose some money from the folks that we've been getting 95% of all their revenue from. It's also possible that the state will pick up some revenue from some banks that do a little bit of credit card activity, but it's not their main focus. We don't have the information. We've never tracked before. We've never required our bank franchise taxpayers to tell us what percentage of their income is from credit card services. So we don't know what the net effect of those two changes are going to be. But we do think that this was the original intent of the legislation, and we would ask you to approve the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question I have, Mike, is this. Let's take, for example, the major credit company that we've got in the state of South Dakota. They're already paying their bank franchise tax. Will this affect in any way, shape, or form the amount of tax that they pay? Or is this just strictly and only the distribution of whatever tax they're currently paying?
Mr. Chairman, you're exactly right. It will not change at all the amount of tax that they pay. It will just pay the distribution.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, are there any further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not a proponent. I'm registered lobbyist for Citibank, and I can tell you that the history you got is accurate, and this will not.
Would you please identify?
I'm sorry. My name is Jeremiah Murphy, and I'm a lawyer from Sioux Falls, and I'm a registered lobbyist for Citibank. And this will not increase our taxes. And I might tell you that when it was done, the philosophy behind it. This was not done when we passed the Citibank bill. That was passed. We only had two legislative days to do that, and we did that. And then at the next session, when the administration realized that could be a windfall for a county or counties, they came with this bill. And the philosophy behind it was very reasonable, I thought, at the time. Citibank couldn't come in here unless they were invited by the whole state. It took the cooperation of the entire legislature. It took the cooperation of the banking industry. So it really was a statewide asset rather than a one county asset. And with that philosophy, the 95-5 breakdown was agreed. There were some legislators from Minnehaha County that didn't like it, but they went along with it. This doesn't change that at all, and the history you got is rather accurate. But it still does a good job for Minnehaha on one hand, and on the other hand, it doesn't give them a huge windfall. And so we have no position on the bill, but I wanted to give you that history, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Murphy? No, thank you. Any further proponents? Are there any opponents? Seeing none,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Everson. I appear here as a representative of the South Dakota Bankers Association. We are not in opposition to Senate Bill 40. I don't have any position on the bill primarily because my board of directors hasn't had a chance to meet since this bill was introduced, and they will do so early in February. I have spoken to some banks, and I just offer some things that you may hear from some bankers should this bill move forward. Number one, I don't know how many of my members necessarily are going to be affected. Not all of them will, because not all of them are in the credit card business. Some of them are, some of them are more than others. My first concern was, when I saw this bill, was this going to create any administrative issues for any of the banks that are, you know, in the traditional banking business and also maybe in the credit card business to varying degrees, because obviously they're going to need to split their income between those two parts of their business. I have yet to hear from a bank who that creates an administrative burden for, so that's the good news. There are some bankers, though, when I do talk to them, that, you know, have preferences about where they'd like to see their tax dollars go. Some of them would have stronger feelings than others about liking the majority of the funds to come back and support units of local government, be that counties or cities or their local school district. It, you know, it may make a difference to them in terms of dealing in their customer depository relationships with some of those governmental institutions. You know, it helps to be able to demonstrate that, that they pay taxes that some of their competitors don't, like credit unions who don't pay the franchise tax. So you may hear from some individual bankers who might have a particular preference on this bill. Anytime I talk to any of them, I do caution them, however, to suggest that you know, no taxpayer gets to tell the government what they ought to do with their money once it comes to town. Once it comes into the Treasury, clearly we at the SDBA recognize it's the legislature's decision as to, you know, where the money ought to be allocated, and we're very respectful of you know, your authority and your responsibility in that area. So I don't have a position on this bill right now, either pro or opponent, but thought I should come forward and at least let the committee know what I'm hearing. I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? If not, thank you very much. Are there any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close to committee discussion and or action. Yes, sir. Senator Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass.
We have a do pass. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Senator Peterson. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Garnos. Denwalt's excused, so Garnos. Excused. Hanson?
Yes.
Justad? Excused. Ketzel?
Aye.
Jim Peterson?
Aye.
Turbeck?
Aye.
Lentz?
Aye.
McNanny?
Aye. Motion is carried. We have a motion to consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This will go on consent. I might announce at this time that we have been asked to hold Senate Bill 42 over. There may be some people who want to come in. It's early in the session, and we do have the time that we can probably make that work for us. So, but if there are people from out of town that are here today that would like to testify on 42, we will take that testimony. But at this time, we'll go on with Senate Bill 41 to revise the procedures used to assess and collect unpaid cigarette taxes. Are there any proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. As you can see, I've got a quite varied task here. I deal with our bank franchise tax and also our tobacco tax. This bill is meant to provide a level playing field for our in-state tobacco sellers so they compete on an equal footing with our out-of-state tobacco sellers, folks selling tobacco in, for example, over the internet. The South Dakota Department of Revenue has been assessing people who we find out buy tobacco over the internet. We've been doing that for over a year. We don't collect a whole lot of money. I look back at our last month's totals, and I think we sent out assessments worth about $658. So it's not a huge amount of money, but when we find the folks that are doing this, we assess them for the excise tax that they didn't pay on the cigarettes, and we assess them use tax on their purchases. So they've got exactly the same tax liability as if they had gone across the street to their local merchant and bought their cigarettes there. The bill does some cleanup language. There's some cleanup language in the bill. The meat of it is towards the end. Like I said, we've been doing these assessments, but there have been disputes or questions about the process for that. And so what we did is in this bill we clarified the process for basically administering these assessments. And we use the process that we use for almost all of our taxes. That's Chapter 1059. That has all the administration, what interest rate you charge, what happens if the person doesn't pay, all those sorts of questions, you know, how they make an appeal. All of those issues are handled in Chapter 1059. So with that, I would, excuse me, there's also Section 2 of the bill. Section 2 of the bill was does the same sort of things for our other tobacco products tax. That tax had never been set up to allow us to do an assessment against a consumer who bought tobacco over the internet, and that the added language in that section allows us to do that. So we've not been able to make an assessment against a consumer who purchased chewing tobacco or cigars, for example, over the internet. We've been able to do that for cigarettes, but not for the other tobacco products. So Section 2 allows us to do that. And I'd be happy to stand by for any questions.
I have one question. Where does the money go that's paid as a penalty and so on? What happens to that?
Chairman, it's treated exactly as the tax. It goes with the tax. So.
And the other question that I might have is, if you're traveling through the street, through the state, you bring in a pack of cigarettes when you come in. At what point do you get concerned and so on?
Mr. Chairman, you know, you'd have a use tax liability, presumably, if you bought those cigarettes in from a state with a different tax rate. And you know, obviously, the state doesn't go around and have checkpoints or anything like that where we check to make sure that all the taxes paid on everything in your vehicle. You know, at the Department of Revenue, we try to go where the money is. It would cost way more to administer a system like that than we would ever collect. So this is mainly going to be targeted against the folks that we find out about. There's a federal law that requires anyone selling tobacco products into the state to tell us if they're selling the untaxed tobacco products or untaxed cigarettes into the state. So we use that information. It comes to us in a database. We just make the assessments and send them out. So it's relatively easy to do, but there's not likely to be any sort of checkpoints or anything like that in the state to catch the truck driver coming through with a pack of cigarettes in his pocket.
Senator Ketchel?
Just a question, and I guess that is in this bill it talks about, excuse me, if you possess or receive 2,000 or more cigarettes, okay, that's 10 cartons of cigarettes. Due to the recent increase that we've seen in the tobacco tax, there's a number of groups or whatever you want to call it where people get together once a week and somebody says, okay, I'm running over to Iowa and I'll pick up whatever anybody wants. They come back across the line in Iowa and they've got 20 cartons of cigarettes. Would they be subject to this?
They would be subject to the penalty provision in a penalty of 10% of the tax due. They're already subject to the cigarette excise tax, but this would impose the penalty of 10%. And that language is in statute right now. So if they've got over 2,000 cigarettes, they have to pay the tax plus a 10% penalty.
I have a follow-up.
Just a follow-up. So that would, I guess, pertain as well to the people who, if they do that same scenario but go to like a reservation and purchase cigarettes.
Mr. Chairman, the reservation cigarettes are a little bit more complex. For most of the tribes, the state has agreements with the tribes. And what we do is we use their taxing authority and our taxing authority, and together we've got the authority to tax everyone. So then the state takes in all the money and we just split it with the tribe. So that's 5 of our 9 reservations, and the other 4 reservations we're trying to work to get agreements like that in place. But it's until we get those agreements in place, it will remain a very complex topic.
Senator Lynch, no. Question?
Mike, what is the process of tracking down people who purchase cigarettes over the internet?
Mr. Chairman, right now, the only source of information we have for that is the companies themselves. There's a federal law that makes it a federal misdemeanor to ship untaxed cigarettes into the state without telling us. The federal legislature is looking at it, and I believe some bills have been introduced to increase the penalty on that to make it a felony so that more companies comply. Right now, there's only one company that's doing that sort of voluntarily, and we're in, if I can use the phrase loosely, negotiations with some other internet tobacco sellers to provide us their customer list, their South Dakota customer list, so we can make assessments against them as well. This enforcement that the department is doing is part of our enforcement of the Master Settlement Agreement, which is basically a deal that the state made with the tobacco companies to say that the tobacco market will be a level playing field for them and for their competitors. So,
one more question. So if people are purchasing tobacco products now on the internet, say after January 1st, if you get that list, are they going to come back and as of January 1st and say, okay, you folks purchased this on January 2nd, is it going to be like...
Mr. Chairman, yeah. That's right. It'll be the $1.53. They'll pay the same tax that they would have paid if they had gone across the street and bought those cigarettes at a local retailer.
Okay.
Further questions? If not, are there further proponents for Senate Bill 41? Further proponents? If not, are there any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close the discussion to committee discussion and or action. Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
I have a do pass motion by Senator Hansen. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Turbaugh. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor of passage of Senate Bill 41, signify by saying aye. Opposed to no.
Hansen?
Aye.
Justad?
No.
Jim Peterson?
Aye.
Turbeck?
Aye.
Lentz?
Aye.
McNanny?
Aye. Motion is carried, 6-1. We'll need somebody to carry this on the floor. Senator Hansen, would you be willing to do that? We'll go on to Senate Bill 42. And are there anyone from out of town? Is there anybody here from out of town that would like to testify today, either as a proponent or an opponent? If not, we'll hold this bill until our next meeting, and we'll take it up on next week when we come back. That's the extent of our bills that we have for this morning, and at this time I would be willing to take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Hansen, seconded by Senator Lynch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned.